Snap Studios. Twinkle, twinkle in the sky, I wonder if tonight I'll die. And due to deeds, we'll never tell. I twinkle, twinkle, straight to hell. You're listening to Spooks. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. From KQED and PRX, you've crossed over to Spooked. Spooksters, the last episode of Spooked, we met Amy. And if you haven't heard that last episode, you're going to go back and listen to that one first. Amy had a new friend at school, and they used to meet up during recess.
So six of us walk through the playground, past all the kids, like a mini army of girls, to go and visit this bathroom before playtime ends.
They knew somebody was there. They couldn't see her, but she had an unconventional way of speaking.
And then a friend of mine in the group sees a vent on the wall, but the flaps are all moving. So I say to the spirit, if that is you moving the vent, can you put all the flaps down? And they immediately close. All of them. The first question I do ask is, can we do one flap open for yes, and two flaps open for no, and one flap opens? Okay, so we want to know your name. Can we guess? And it opens for yes. Are you called Alyssa? Are you called Elsie? Are you called Emma? No, no, no. Emily.
Emily and Amy, they'd meet up after class and talk about everything until it got to graduation day, and they realized they wouldn't see each other again.
So I ask her, do you want to come home with me?
What? What? I don't know why people do it, Spooksters. I do not understand, but ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to join Amy and her crew at home in the town of Hornsea on the English seaside. Spooked.
We'll meet in the park and go on the swings and see the cute boys. And Emily will be with us. If you've ever had a finger run down your spine and it gives you that shiver, that's how we communicate with Emily when there is nothing to communicate with. So we will say, if it's a yes, can you run your finger down our spine? And your whole body would shiver and you'd go freezing. But if it was a no, she just wouldn't do it. It's weird, but it's nice that she came with us. And she's still in the friend group. When I'm at home on my own, I have a speaker that has two lights, a red and a green light, and I'm just talking and I say, Emily, are you here? The little green light will blink. Are you busy? No, the red light will blink. As we go from, I got a new toy today, to, oh, I kissed a boy today. Just those transitioning years, it feels like she is growing with us. When I'm massively stressed, and sometimes it's just enough for me to just need to vent what's happening, I would just say, Emily, you were here, and the lights on the speaker would start changing. And then just tell her all my problems for that day, that sometimes that's all I need, is just someone to listen. I would always ask her every now and then, do you want to be here, or do you want to move on? And she'd always say she wants to move on. There was always the question of, but do you want to move on now? Why? Do you have something you've got to do here? Is that because I want you to stay? And then there would be no reply. Like, she didn't want to hurt my feelings by saying yes or no. I rang my friends and said,
we need to get together because I think Emily's ready to go.
I can't explain it. It's like telepathy. And we decide we're going to go to the park one last time and spend the day together before we close the communication and say bye. So we go to the park and we're all talking and reminiscing about, do you remember when we first met, Emily? And everyone at the same time gets the finger down the spine, like a jolt of electricity. And it's continuous. It's one after the other, after the other. And this is a new sensation. But the feeling is, I have to get your attention from Emily. I have to get your attention. Something isn't right. And we're getting close to a tree line. And that's when we see a figure of what we think is a man just wandering through the tree. And he disappears. And we're like, that's weird. So we carry on walking, thinking maybe he's walking his dog and his dog stopped for a poop and he's picking it up or something like that. Because we're maybe about 5 foot from the tree line, we see this black figure peek at us from behind the tree. It looks like a bald man with broad shoulders. To one of my friends, says, oh, there's a creepy old guy staring at us in the trees. That's gross. Another friend says, well, come on, let's go and shout at him and tell him that we're going to ring the police because he shouldn't be staring at us. But we are getting this finger down spine, finger, like, something isn't right. Everything went silent. You couldn't even hear the wind in the trees blowing the leaves. And as we get to the tree line, there is no one there. There is nowhere he could have gone anywhere without us seeing. And that was the first time we saw the black figure that came with Emily. So we go back home to my house and Emily, what was that? Were we in danger? And by this point, the light is going crazy. So I ask, okay, is it evil? So my friends are now freaking out. And I say to Emily, if whatever that thing is here because you've stayed too long, that's my fault and I'm sorry. You have to go now. I don't want you to stay and be in trouble for staying. So we get the candles out and we sit down in a circle, just like we did when we first met. So we hold hands. We're all facing each other. And I'm facing Molly. And the speaker box is next to me. So everyone in the circle can see the box, so we can see the lights for answers. Emily, we just want to say that if you want to go, that's okay. And that we are happy that we met you. And we're happy if you want to visit again. But you don't belong here. And just a feeling of, it's the same when you say something like that to a real person. Say you're in a relationship with someone and it's not working out and you just have to let them go, and you have that knot in the pit of your stomach trying to push yourself to say, if you can leave. I'm not forcing you to be here. Whatever makes you happy, go. And we say goodbyes. And we ask that God lets her see the light. And someone's there waiting for her. And I say, can you see it? And the light turns green. And I said, okay, you can go. Okay, you can go. We'll be okay. And you can always visit. I ask that we can have one last flashlight on and off to say bye, which is done straight away. And the room just feels empty. So that was my first loss. So I had a few girlies over. It is my birthday, which is in November. We're having a sleepover and reminiscing about boys, and I guess I was missing Emily. There was only one other girl from the original group of six that knew about Emily. So we didn't talk about her at this party. We're in my bedroom, we've got the radio on, and we're prancing about in clothes and dressing up, and one of the girls just happens to be looking out the window, and it's pretty dark outside, but we have streetlights which illuminate the road, the little patch of grass across the road, and some fields right opposite. My friend just says, what is that guy doing staring at us? Why is someone outside your house? So we all rushed to the window, and above the shrub line was the black figure. And there he is, just illuminated by the streetlight, but jet black. My friends are making jokes, sticking their tongue out of the window, giving him the finger. And I just put the blinds down. I'm not ready for this. Don't worry, girls. You know, I'm going to run downstairs and get some more popcorn and some more DVDs, and still side-eyeing my friend that knows about Emily. So I ignore it as best I can again. I just didn't want to deal with any of it. We'll be in the car, driving past down the road, and you'll catch a glimpse of him stood in an alleyway between two houses, or at the roadside going to school, or just in a field across from my house, just glimpses of him standing, waiting, watching. We were old enough to go to the pub and actually be at the pub legally. And so I say to Liz, come on, we'll go get the guys from the pub. And we meet them, and we're walking back through Hornsey, and it's 10, 11 o'clock at night. We walk laughing and joking and past the apartments, but at the time it was being built. Liz says, what is that? And there's the figure in the top windows. And I said, just keep walking. And she says, what do you mean? And I said, no, Liz, like, just trust me. Just keep walking. But I know it's him. And we carry on walking. And a friend of mine called John. John says to me, are you okay? And I said, it's for me. I have a black figure every now and then that follows me. And he believed me off the bat and said, well, are you okay? And yeah, I'm fine. It just follows me to try and scare me in the most scary situations, in the dark, and it's just pathetic. It's never done anything. Me and John have stopped to say that to each other, and Liz and her partner have carried on walking, so we kind of jogged to catch up. And her partner says, I'm starting to get a headache and feel sick. And she's like, are you okay? And I said, Liz, it'll be fine. The more we walk, the it'll just wear off. It's fine. But the more I walk with this friend, the more intense his headache and the sickness feels for him. So I stop, and as he gets further away, he says, I feel better. So I said, see? And then I try to catch up, and as I'm catching up, he says, whoa, 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 stay there. The minute you got closer to me again, it felt like something stabbed me in between my eyes. As he's walking away, he starts to feel better, this friend. And I said, yeah, keep walking, I'll stay behind and I'll have a word. Just keep an eye on me, and if anything weird happens or I disappear into the earth or anything like that, like, call an exorcism or something. We're just joking and laughing. And I just turn to the black figure. I don't know what happened, just this bubble of anger. And I'm giving him the finger. All you do is taunt me. You follow me everywhere. I've got nothing for you. Emily's not here anymore. Why are you here? Leave me alone. Just going crazy. As we walk away, across the road is an old train lines with trees on either side. So I say, come on, we'll go down there. It's a shortcut. And as we're walking down the lines, my friend feels better. John's checking I'm okay and asking me all sorts of questions, like, you've probably made it angry. Like, what are you doing that for? And I said, honestly, nothing's ever happened before. Liz stops in her tracks and goes, Amy is there. We see the figure in the tree line. It was just peeking around the tree and it was just the top half. I'm not 100% sure why. It's just shoulders and a head. It's unbelievable. When you see it, it is solid jet black. If you were in pitch black, that would be blacker. So I said, stay to the other side of the path where the other trees are. Walk straight past him. Don't look at him. Just keep walking. Don't say a word. If you ignore it, it can't do anything. It can't touch you. It can't harm you. It just likes to spook you. That's what it feeds off. Ignore it. So they do as I ask, and I say, I'll stay back. And I'll just tell it to leave again. And as I go past, I say, please, will you just F off? I had a scarf, just a little one, wrapped around my neck. I don't know what happened, but Liz and John both said, your scarf, the ends of your scarf went in the air in different directions. Someone was physically strangling you. If you put on a scarf, tie it round your neck, and pull both cords at the same time as you try and strangle yourself, that's what my scarf did. And that's when I realised that actually it can use things around me to harm me. I don't know why I'm surprised, because Emily moved the fan, which was physical, and blinked the lights, and that turned on the hand dryers. It never clicked that they could touch physical things and move them. But at that point, it was a game changer of, I can be seriously harmed. Looking back now, it just feels like the day when we tried to say goodbye and went to the park, and then we got that ominous feeling of, we have to get out of here. I don't know why Emily would be so intent in telling us to go, go, go. But I feel like maybe that spirit was so angry at us, and she was saying, you know, you have to leave because he's getting angry, because we were taking the only person he had with him. What if the black figure was with her the whole time and she left him alone? Now, in hindsight, maybe it was scaring us to get attention, because we spent all of our time talking to Emily, trying to guide her to the other side. And now it's trying to scare me because it wants acknowledgement itself. And maybe the whole point of him following me is because he knows I can help. I have before. But he didn't go about it the right way, if that was his intentions, because it just made me angry and not want to help him. So I am in two minds whether to try and communicate with it and say, look, I'm not willing to communicate while you're in this form. No one's going to scare me into communicating. I will communicate when I'm ready.
big thank you to Amy for sharing your story with the Spooked. We are sending you, Amy, such big love. The original score for that piece was by Jordan Wallace. It was produced by Annie Nguyen. Yes, 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 this story may be over, but it's never finished, no way. Making our march to All Hallowed Eve, be afraid. And if you need to let the world know that you're down with the Spook, check out the Spook store, snapjudgment.org/shop. Spooks, understand this. We are in search of monsters. If you're hiding one and it's changed you, we want to know about it. Aliens, Bigfoot, werewolves, specters, your neighbor that leaves smoking hoof prints in the driveway. If you need to tell somebody, tell us. Spooked@snapjudgment.org. There is nothing better than a spook story from a spook listener. And if you like your storytelling in the bright light of day, subscribe to the incredible, stupendous Snap Judgment podcast. It might just change your life. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, if you want to hear something crazy. Spooked is brought to you by the team that knows when to fold them, knows when to walk away, and knows when to run. Except for Mark Ristich. He just stands there until somebody circles back. There's Anna Sussman. Our chief spookster is Eliza Smith. Chris Hambrick, Annie Nguyen, Lauren Newsom, Leon Morimoto, Renzo Gorio, Teo DeCott, Marissa Dodge, Aaliyah Yates, Zoe Ferrigno, Greta Weber, Jacob Winnick, Sana Khan, Tiffany DeLisa, Ann Ford, Fernando Hernandez, and Flo Wiley. The Spook theme song is by Pat Masini Miller. My name is Ben Washington. Proceed with caution. They may look like someone you know, the eyes, the hair, uncanny, but trust me, you don't want to see their true form. Which is why I advise, I beg, I plead to each and every person who will listen to never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever turn out the lights. This story was summoned in the dark of night by KQED and PRX.